So this morning, church, we're going to pick up from where Kate took us a fortnight ago when she introduced us into the book of James. Kate was looking a little surprised there for a moment. She was wondering what she'd done a fortnight ago. Burnt the dinner or, you know, what was it? No, it was actually, no, she didn't burn the dinner. Sorry, do I want to go there? So we heard how James was encouraging the church of his day, particularly those 12 tribes that he speaks about at the beginning of the book, who have been the Jewish Christians who have been scattered amongst the nations because they are suffering. They're going through real difficulties and trials. And so he's seeking to encourage them in their faith. And like them, we are to persevere under those kind of pressures, because it's through those things that he says that we become mature in our faith if we endure and do not give up on God. He, in a sense, forms Christ's character in us. He forms our character through Christ. And whatever deficit may remain in that equation, he says that and encourages us that we can ask God for wisdom, because God is a generous God and he will give that wisdom to us without finding fault. And I'm just so grateful that God is like that, that he is so generous. And in spite of my deformed human nature, he can do what I'm unable to do for myself if I allow him. And one way that God reforms us, our human nature, is to bring maturity into us through Christ. And it comes through his word, and that word has the effect of actually renewing our minds. So to do this, James says in chapter 1 and verse 21, that we are to therefore get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. And I believe that God's word, when we humbly accept it, has the power to save and transform our lives. So this morning I'd like to scatter some of that word seed liberally and generously over us all by using scripture as a form of prayer for us, trusting that God's Holy Spirit, as we've already sung this morning, is able to speak to us, to minister to each one of us wherever we may find ourselves at this time. So if you want to, if I invite you to close your eyes, because I find that's a way of minimizing the distractions when we pray, and I'd like to read these beautiful passages of scripture over us as word seed from God. So we pray from Isaiah 55 and starting at verse 10. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the gorse will grow manuka, and instead of wilding pines, the kauri will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Micah 6:8. He has showed you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. May the word of the Lord planted in us this day dwell in the rich soil of our hearts, causing transformation for our minds that leads to human flourishing in and amongst us all. Amen. Amen. So as we've heard, the word of God is likened to a seed. And this goes back to the First Testament, but it also is borne out by Jesus' own parable of the sower. And then we find it being echoed by Jesus' brother James in his writing, where he says, "The word planted in you can save you." A prerequisite for undergoing this transformational seed, for it to bud and then to flourish and then to become fruitful, is that we humbly accept the word from God planted in us, so that our lives begin to change as we humbly accept what he has for us. Isaiah puts it that God's ways are higher than our ways, and that his thoughts are far superior to our own. And such beauty that comes from above needs to be made room for our lives here below. And so James is saying to us, therefore we need to rid our lives of all moral filth, and we need to resist the evil that is so prevalent around us all. See, James is a book of wisdom for living that we apply to our lives, our daily lives. When we apply God's word to our lives, we'll find that wisdom is justified by her deeds, as Proverbs says. The breastplate of righteousness that leads to right living enables our hearts, minds, souls, and bodies to be led forth in joy and peace, even when we're under enemy fire, as we can find ourselves in life. And then in James 1 and verses 22 to 25, James warns us of a very real danger, though, in handling the word of God. He says this: "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a person who looks at their face in a mirror and after looking at themselves goes away and immediately forgets what they look like. But the person who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they will be blessed in all they do." Remember, wisdom is justified by her deeds. Activating God's word in our lives by doing her deeds will reinforce God's wise words in us and through us. Over time, we will be reorientated in our lives so that we truly begin to delight in God's will and to really walk in his ways. Even and perhaps especially among the gorse and the wilding pines of life, we will gain God's kingdom perspective, akin, if you like, to a replanting program that he has mounted. Instead of worries and cares, like in Jesus' parable of the sower, coming up and choking out conscience and good cheer, as Bob Dylan sings, although he is reflecting on the sorrows of his past life, we'll have a vision for the future which will enable God's ways in us to grow above the cares of the world around us. And the application of God's will helps us to find opportunities where in the past we may have seen obstacles. We will see people and circumstances not just as they are, but as they can be in Christ, so that they will now resemble not the gorse or the wadding pine, but the manuka and the kauri, and that they will become a planting of the Lord to his renown. God in Christ has actually mounted a massive re-beautification plan called the Kingdom of God. And that's what he's up to. That's what Jesus came to announce. And so when we participate in this with him, we are becoming part of his work. And God says that he wants us to pray in such a way. He says, we say, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And when we pray that, God says, yes, may it be so. May my will be further established here on earth through you, my people. We who believe, James says, need to move from just hearing God's word to doing God's word in our lives. And then James goes one step further, and he really begins to stretch us in this, talking about God's kingdom, talking about God's upside-down kingdom, talking about those who are invited who don't necessarily appear on the A-listers register of his kingdom. In James 1 and verses 26 to 27, he says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. See, the kingdom of God is not just talk. It is the love of God at work within us and through us in cooperation with the Spirit, empowering us to do the very will of God here on earth. If I were only to preach what I practice, I would probably have very little to say, I'm afraid, people. I'm looking to God to help me to close that gap between what I believe and what I do. And a primary way that we do this is this litmus test of James that he puts before us. Are our priorities aligned with the priorities of God and his kingdom? Throughout the entire canon of Scripture, you see this played over and over again, that God calls those who profess to go by his name to reach out to those who are disadvantaged and marginalized in his world. And he calls those of us with social equity and great resource to shift the power of that into the hands of those who may have little or nothing in this world. And in doing this, we become emissaries of God's kingdom. We become ambassadors of Christ, establishing and preparing the kingdom that he's going to return to and set up his throne and rule and reign over justly and mercifully as our King. Hallelujah. So hearing and doing is indeed a litmus test for us all. It tests the quality and the effectiveness of the word that is at work in each one of us. Proverbs wisdom literature instructs us that wisdom is justified by her deeds. We are called to live wisely by caring for those whom we find in distress around us, humbly accepting the word of God planted in you can save you. It can save you from being deformed by the world's corrupt ideologies that do not lead to human flourishing. It can lead you to taking part or participating with God in achieving his plans and purposes for a broken and suffering world. And it can, in spite of your own and others' suffering, lead us forth in joy and peace, because we have placed our trust and our faith in God, who is our Father, who is loving and has good plans and purposes for not only us, but for all his children in the world. I want to return to Isaiah 55. And again, I'd like to pray this as a prayer. But I'm going to start a little bit earlier into the scripture this morning, because it says here that we are to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near, that we are to let the wicked forsake their way and the evil man his thoughts, letting him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, to our God, for he will freely pardon. Let's just close our eyes again. I want to read back through that scripture. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the gorse will grow manuka, and instead of the wilding pine will grow the mighty kauris. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. So be it. Amen. Amen. I just want to encourage us to really take these words to heart this morning. Go back to these scriptures, read them over again, look intently into them and see what they have to say to us, so that we are able to move out beyond these four walls into our community of Waiuka, but wider than that, as we seek to work with agencies like Tear Funds and World Vision in reaching people who live in very different circumstances to our own, who in their distress need those of us with greater social equity and resources at hand to give them a hand up, to help empower them to live a life that buds and flourishes, where they might be led forth in joy and peace as we are also. So that's what we're going to be leaning into and pressing into in the coming weeks, but also as we go further in James, seeing the wisdom of what he has to say, but applying that wisdom in our daily lives in such ways as I've just described. So bless you. We're going to now just continue to fellowship with one another over tea and coffee, and enjoy the sunshine. Oh, no, that's the light. No, it is the sun. Yeah. So bless you. Thank you.